The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts today, Gray Oldenburg and Nathan Glidewell. We had the conference championships this weekend, guys, but the big thing was the final rankings for the college football playoff came out. Nathan, I know we're going to have a long discussion today about what happened to the Crimson Tide, but let's get into this, Gray. Let's get into the college football playoff right now. This was the bracket that came out. Number one, Oregon. Number two, Georgia. And this is just the playoff bracket, not the rankings. Three, Boise State. Four, Arizona State. Five, Texas. Six, Penn State. Seven, Notre Dame. Nine, Tennessee. 10, Indiana. 11, SMU. And 12, Clemson. And the first team out was Alabama. So, great. Let's talk about this bracket. What were your thoughts on how this whole thing shook out here?
Obviously, this is new territory for the college football playoff, for college football fans, and for the playoff committee. Would have easily been the Oregon, probably, obviously Georgia, maybe Texas, but then you're arguing a Texas, Penn State, Iowa State, or not Iowa State, Ohio State for that final 3-4 spot the last couple of years. And now we're arguing for a team that lost their conference championship against a team that has three losses, for a team that has two losses, for another team that has three losses, or another team that has three losses for that 12 spot. And it's pretty crazy. I think it's an interesting layout. I do think there are things that need to be done about it as a whole moving forward to adjust what the College Football Playoff Committee values the most, because if you're going to value, and I know we're going to get into this, if you're going to value head-to-head, if you're going to value strength schedule, if you're going to value winning or going to your conference championship game, you need to set that precedent, and they had the chance to do that with this playoff and for their inaugural first 12-team college football playoff. And I do think that there are steps moving forward that they can take. But an interesting playoff. I'm excited about some of the games. I'm not excited about some of the other games for specific reasons. And we'll get into that and discuss the matchups and stuff. But I'm just going to pass it over to Nathan because I want him to be able to express. But I just kind of just said my opening remarks about the playoff as a whole, less more about specific knickknacks, and we'll get into a sec.
What a glorious day it is. Obviously, I don't think there was a right answer for the many. They were going to be wrong no matter what. Let's be honest. It was more of most deserving versus best. I feel like we're talking about this like last year, because I think Florida State was definitely more deserving, but Alabama was a better team. I think that was proven. But obviously, it's a different year, different circumstances. I don't blame the committee for what they did. SMU is a good football team. They competed well against Clemson. They came up short. Credit to Clemson making the 56-yard goal to walk off the game. I mean, that's in college, that is very, very impressive. So I was impressed with that. SMU throughout the year didn't have the toughest schedule. But they beat the teams they were supposed to. And that is the main thing I think the committee took into account, is when they were supposed to win, they did. And they kept it fairly competitive against the teams that were better on their schedule. I think the Clemson game, them seeing how close it was, I think took into account of why SMU was ahead of Alabama, how competitive they were in that game. But on the flip side, Alabama had a good argument to get in. Very tough strength of schedule, very good wins. They hold a win over the current 2-seed and SEC champion Georgia Bulldogs. They had another win over a South Carolina team that made a push late for the playoffs and won 6 straight games. And their last loss was to that Alabama team. They had some very good wins, but the most defining thing was the losses throughout the season. The Vanderbilt loss hurt. And that could have been excused if it wasn't for the fact that late in the season, after the LSU game, they go on the road and lay an egg at Oklahoma. If that game does not happen, if they take care of business in that one, this isn't even a discussion. Alabama's in the field. They would have competed for the SEC championship. Yeah. But it's a simple fact that they didn't take care of their business when they needed to. So I can't blame the committee for keeping them out. This is on Alabama. This is on the players for not taking care of their business. It's on the coaching staff. They need to realize that. We can't just throw our arms up and say the committee was wrong because they put in the most deserving team. But I don't want to hear the committee say, we put in the best teams. This is not about putting in the best teams. There are some of the best teams in there, but there are far more deserving teams. And this is why we had the auto bid system in place, where a winner from the Power Four conferences plus the best group of five team, they are guaranteed a spot in the playoff. I don't agree with it. I think it messes up the whole bracket system. Because if you're telling me a team in Boise State who their toughest opponent was Oregon, they put them hard. I think they're a very good football team. They didn't play a great strength of schedule, and they have a bye. Arizona State, with everything that happened over the weekend, they end up getting a bye. Guaranteed, they are playing very good football right now, but they haven't had a great strength of schedule. Clemson sneaks in. Clemson would have never sniffed the playoffs after the season they've had. They did not play great football all year long. Miami ends up slipping out to Syracuse in the final week of the regular season. Clemson sneaks in and takes advantage of the situation they were given. Credit to Dabo Swinney and his team. They were not one of the best 12 teams in the country. And I think that's one of the most flawed things. You can go down the list. In Indiana, their only hard game was against Ohio State. They didn't look great in that one. And they kind of just cakewalked there. Notre Dame doesn't even compete in the conference. Guaranteed, they have a good win on the road against Texas A&M, but they also have the worst loss I've ever seen in college football to Northern Illinois, and somehow that was why I thought the landscape of the map. Yeah. You have Texas down there who doesn't play anyone. One of their best key wins, I was told, was Vanderbilt, which is considered a horrible loss for Alabama, so that didn't really make sense for me. But Texas can't even beat Georgia, can't beat a ranked team. It's stuff like that. That really just does not make sense. So if we're going to have a playoff, let's not call it the best teams anymore, because these are not the best teams. There are better teams out there. Ole Miss, Alabama, Miami, South Carolina. Those teams are very good and would compete extremely well in this playoff. I get it. They didn't take care of their business. They weren't deserving. But it wasn't about putting in the deserving teams. It was about putting in the best teams. So that has been a joke of the playoff committee.
Go ahead, man.
It's baffling. I understand it, but it's still baffling at the same time why we continue to have this discussion. They need to change the language they use when they start defining teams and why they put teams in. I mean, you can go and throw out the war manual quote, Alex. You can go and throw that up for people to see because I think this is the biggest joke. Greg, what did you think of this quote, first of all?
I thought it was a joke. Look, I think Nathan brought up some really good points about, yes, there probably wasn't a correct answer for the committee at that 12 spot. And either way, they were going to get pushed back no matter what. And that's how it is. That's how it's been most of the years in the playoff, especially last year when they had to make the decision with Alabama or Florida State. And then this year with Alabama, SMU, and even the others, you include the other. Nathan, if we're talking about the best teams, the teams that are playing the best right now, how in the world is South Carolina not in there above a Texas or somebody like that? Like, yes, Texas deserves to be in the playoff. Yes, South Carolina has three losses, but South Carolina's won seven straight, won their last seven games. They looked good on the road against Alabama. They should have beaten LSU if there wasn't a horrible call. That blows my mind. That blows my mind that we're talking about the best teams and the most deserving teams. And that's two different sides of the spectrum. Just like Nathan said, you've got to pick your language and you've got to abide by it. And it seems like the College Football Playoff Committee, I know this is a completely different scenario with it being a 12-team playoff. I know this is a completely different year and different circumstances. But it seems like they go back and forth on that word every single year. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. That's where people get the backlash. That's how they get the backlash, is because last year they wanted to put the best teams in for the best games. That's what they did. And that's what they said. They also said that those were also the most deserving teams. Absolutely not. Florida State was a 13-0 Power Conference champion. That was not true. And then they want to come to this year. Yes, SMU deserves to be in the playoff. You cannot tell me that SMU team is playing better than Alabama, Miami, and South Carolina right now, and Ole Miss. No way. And then they said they put in the best teams. Well, no, you put in the more deserving teams, which you didn't do last year, but now you're still talking about like you did both. Now stick to one side. Stick to one side and then abide by it year after year. I know it's different years. I know it's different circumstances. But that's the problem. That's where the backlash is coming in. Because obviously I can make the argument for SMU. Obviously I can make the argument for all the other teams that were left out. But and there's no right or wrong answer because of those are valid arguments. But we're not going to continue to sit here and listen to this college football playoff committee and then keep going back and forth on their word. That's the problem. And this quote saying that the college football playoff committee really valued the strength of schedule. Now, let me preface this first. I don't think scheduling should hurt a team. I don't think the strength of schedule should make you go, they don't belong here. Because there's so little, especially, I'm not talking about Notre Dame because they're not a conference, but those teams and those power conferences, there's so little they control in their schedule. And yes, they control the non-conference schedule, but those games are also scheduled years in advance. Years in advance. And who knows if the school of the South is going to be really good when the school of the West schedules them 10 years in advance. There's very little control there. So I don't think you should punish a team for not having a tough schedule. Especially a team like SMU, who is their first year in a power conference. They had just moved up after winning their conference last year, moving up to the ACC. How are they supposed to know that Florida State, Miami, and Clemson weren't going to be the forces that some people thought they would be? Or the bottom of the ACC to just be absolutely horrendous. And the ACC be one of the worst conferences this year. How do you punish them for that? They showed up and won games on their schedule that they were supposed to win and competed in games that they weren't. And so I don't want there to be punishment there. And that goes for Boise State. That goes for Arizona State. That's not just SMU. But it's easy to make that point for SMU because that's the team we're arguing against when you're arguing for Alabama or for Miami or Ole Miss or South Carolina. But you also can't disvalue the type of schedule that somebody like Alabama, Miami, South Carolina, or Ole Miss played. Because they played the best teams. Three of those teams played in the best conference. How do you punish them for losing some games in that conference? How do you punish South Carolina for their three losses? First of all, the loss against LSU should not have been a loss. That was a pick six. The loss against Alabama, they were in it to the very end in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's one of the top teams in this conference. How do you punish Alabama to going on the road and losing to Tennessee by four? You can't do that. You can't do that while also valuing SMU's 30-point win against a Wake Forest, for example. And I don't know if that was I don't know much about SMU's schedule this past year, but we can't relate those two. And how do you not value Alabama's win against Georgia? How do you not value South Carolina's win against Texas A&M? How do you not value Ole Miss winning games on their schedule? Their win against Georgia. It is a yes. There's not a right answer. But, man, it's not the outcome. It's not the playoff bracket that I'm arguing against. It's the words of this college football playoff committee, because they're hypocritical and they're ridiculous. And it's a shame that they're not being just straight up and honest with college football fans who deserve it, because value is strength of schedule. But what's SMU's strength of schedule this year? 60th?
We can pull it up right now compared to Alabama.
Let's go ahead and pull that up right now.
I mean,
you cannot relate those two. You cannot relate those two. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at the video, Alabama's strength of schedule was 16th. SMU's was 60th. The win-loss over teams over 500, Alabama was 5-1, and then SMU was 5-2. The key wins for Alabama: Georgia, South Carolina, Missouri, LSU. For SMU, Louisville, Duke, Pitt, and TCU. I mean, that just tells you all you need to know. If we're going to value strengths of schedule, am I wrong to say that Alabama won that argument?
Yeah.
It wasn't even close. That's not an argument, because it's by far better.
But here's what Ward Manuel said to back up the SMU pick. We looked at their body of work and the proverbial eye test, and they got it over Alabama. That was the reason. That's the reason Indiana's in the playoff. That's the whole entire reason.
Eye test, you look at, do you have eyes? Okay, SMU, they're a good football team. But if you look at Alabama, if you look at South Carolina, Ole Miss, Miami, those are some of the most talented teams in the country. And you're telling me the eye test told you SMU was better. I think it's ridiculous. Like I said, most deserving team, absolutely. Go ahead and put them in. They didn't lose to Vanderbilt or Oklahoma like Alabama did. But stop saying it's the best teams. When the playoff was first implemented, I was so excited, because when I heard they were going to put the best teams in, when I thought we were going to get the best matchups every single playoff, I was so happy. But now I'm looking at it like, okay, so we're just rewarding teams for not losing. Okay, so I'm sure the SEC is already going to be on this, because they saw that strength of schedule wasn't rewarded. So we're going to move down to play the most minimum conference games you can play. We're going to act like we're Notre Dame, and we're going to only play like two common opponents, and the rest of the time we'll play cupcakes. And when we lose one or two games to those conference opponents, we'll say, well, those are good losses. Those are good teams. It's ridiculous. It doesn't back up the fact that teams are rewarded for playing good strength of schedules. I think that's the biggest thing. And honestly, going forward, this is the criteria to get into the playoff. Then it will change the whole landscape of college football in the way not only SEC teams schedule, but Big Ten and all the other power conferences. So it made an impact for sure. But I do say you got to value making your conference championship, even though the ACC sucked. I mean, some of the worst teams I've seen all year, Florida State, Lord have mercy. Gosh, I still can't believe Clemson backdoored their way into a playoff. I'm sorry. You know, as an Alabama fan, I might have it a little bad, but you should be miserable right now as South Carolina fans. Not only did you beat the team that snuck into the playoff, you had some of the best wins. You were on fire. And the committee just said, whatever.
And if South Carolina wins that LSU game, they are in the playoff.
Because
they're 10-2, they're in.
Here's the thing, I disagree. Only because the two losses that they lost to, Alabama and Ole Miss were put ahead of them. You can't – the head-to-head has to matter as well.
But both of those teams have three losses.
Hold on. If the head-to-head matters, then why is SMU in front of Clemson?
Because we got to put them in the playoff. They made their conference championship.
My thing is why is Clemson ranked 16? SMU's ranked 10? But why is that? Is it because SMU's the hotter team? I mean, it's the double standard. Is why is South Carolina behind Ole Miss and Alabama? Because they don't have the head-to-head win. Well, why is SMU in front of Clemson? They don't have the head-to-head win there. I don't care if it was the conference championship game. I mean, I don't understand the logic, because I can look at everything right here. Why is Army not in the playoff? They won their conference. They only have one loss. They have a good eye
name.
I mean, Indiana has one loss. They played a terrible schedule, but they got the proverbial eye test. So why is Army not in? Why is Indiana in and Army not? Like, there's this double standard that infuriates me. I'm not going to sit here and argue about, oh, Alabama over SMU. But when I see these flip-flops of we're prioritizing this for this team, we're cherry-picking different stats. No, make it the same. If we're going to keep it the same here, Army should have been in over SMU. Army won the American Athletic Conference. And the American, for years, has been seen as the sixth best conference, fifth now, when it comes to sports. Why is Army not in? They won every game except Notre Dame. I mean, this is the issue I have with this committee, is we continue to flip-flop and cherry-pick stats that fit the thing we want. And these people saying, oh, they put SMU in over Alabama, let's just stop scheduling the non-conference games. Take Florida State off the schedule next year. SMU played a harder non-conference schedule than Alabama did this year. They played BYU. Granted, they lost, but they played a harder non-conference schedule. The non-conference schedule is not the reason Alabama did not make the playoff. The reason Alabama did not make the playoff is because you could not score a touchdown against Oklahoma. Now, they did score a touchdown, but the referee decided no. But you lose two games you're not supposed to lose. SMU lost to a ranked BYU team who still ranked in the final CFP rankings at 17. And Alabama, you lost to two now currently unranked teams in the CFP. Now, they're bowl eligible, but they're not ranked. So that's the reason Alabama lost. And I'm tired of hearing Bama fans saying, oh, take all these difficult games off our schedule. If you want to fix it to where you're not SEC teams or
leave the SEC
teams.
We'll go in a bit. That's fine. We'll go in a bit. Notre Dame.
You dilute the schedule. You play four conference games every year. Two similar opponents every year and two rotating. And you limit the amount of chances you have beating up on each other. And the rest of the schedule, you just pick non-conference games. You go play a Mercer. You go play whatever. You go play Wisconsin. You pick these games to where you don't really see yourself losing them. That's how you fix it if you want to get an SMU-type schedule. You don't throw away the Ohio State game you have in a couple of years. That's not the reason you missed the playoff. So that infuriates me from Alabama fans' perspective, is they sit here and talk about, let's just – our non-conference really screwed us here. So that's the argument I just don't find good for Alabama fans to be making. Well, it's the fact the committee –
strength of schedule, though, is a thing. So down the road, if we're going and playing Ohio State, let's just say we're not punished for losing that game. I mean, obviously it wasn't considered that we played a good strength of schedule this year. I mean, what's the point in going and playing at Ohio State and we're not going to get rewarded for that win? I get we lost in conference this year. Like, that doesn't change the fact that down the road, strength of schedule, it looks like it doesn't matter. It looks like it doesn't matter. We can go and cakewalk through another schedule and not play anybody and get in. I like playing a good strength of schedule. I think it proves how good your team is. I didn't think Alabama had one of the best teams this year. I don't think we're deserving of a playoff spot. As far as talent, yeah, sure. You can put them out there, but talent isn't everything. We didn't take care of our business. But it's the flip-flopping of the committee that just really gets on my nerves. The final ranking, I mean, even looking at it now, I mean, the head-to-head has to matter. Why is SMU above Clemson? I know you had to put them in the playoff, but what are we doing? I don't get it.
It makes no sense to me. But like both of y'all said earlier in the show, the committee was handicapped because they had to put in five conference winners. They had to put in the four best and then the group of five. So they handicapped themselves. And you have to give four of the conference winner buys. You cannot tell me with a straight face that Boise State and Arizona State deserve a bye over Penn State and Notre Dame or Ohio State, Tennessee, who play in a much tougher conference. If you want to make the bracket fair, I mean, look at Oregon. Oregon got hosed.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. And then you have Arizona State playing Texas and Clemson. Now, granted, if Texas wins that game, it's not going to be great for Arizona State. But how is it fair for the one seed to get the winner of the 8-9 game? And then if somehow the 12 seed, which at last week could have been Alabama, if they get the win, Arizona State gets the 12 seed. So how is that fair for the 4 seed, which is the worst of the top 4 byes, to get a somewhat easier schedule through this thing? You have to – this whole format has to change. You either have to reseed, get rid of guaranteed buys for the conference winners, don't guarantee conference winner spot in the playoff. Because we have Army sitting outside the playoff. I mean, why aren't they in? They're a conference winner. The American Conference is very good. Memphis is good. Tulane's good. It baffles me. It really does, this committee. But you can't sit here and blame them all day long.
The fact that they punished Oregon. Oregon went undefeated and won the Big Ten, including wins over Ohio State and Penn State. And they're going to either get Ohio State or Tennessee. And Tennessee will have 3 weeks to prepare for that. That's crazy. I agree with Alex. I think this whole thing needs to change. I think they need to go into a 16-team playoff format, seed it one from 16, and it's pretty simple. One plays 16, two plays 15, and on and on and on. How are we not taking notes from college basketball? This is like we did try to do too much. People, the best tournament – The best playoff in sports, not just professional, college, high school, any sports, is March Madness. Why are committees not following them? I'm not saying put 68 teams in a tournament and make them play every other day. This is a completely different sport. This is very, very different. But why are we trying to do so much? Why are we trying to make have four buys for four conference champions? Why are we trying to seed like this? Why are we trying to guarantee five conference champions in this playoff? What are we doing? Why not just take the 16 best teams, which is what they said, just like Nathan said, which is what they said when the college football playoff came out. That is what they said. The best teams, seed them like you would seed any other normal tournament and let them play football. It'll be the most fun games, some crazy atmospheres to have at home stadium. I love the idea of having them in at like having teams have the home game. That rewards you for being a better team. But like, how's Tennessee getting punished here? They have to go to Columbus, Ohio. And then if they win that, they have to go play the number 1 team in the country. They're a 10-2 SEC team. Are you kidding me? But blow this up and let's reframe it and make this into what this sport deserves, because this isn't.
Let me ask y'all this. You see the top 16, if you're watching or listening, whatever, you know the top 16 teams. You look at 16 and you look at 17. Is there an argument for BYU to be in over Clemson or South Carolina? Is there a remote argument?
No. Not right now.
No.
And I'm sure if we went to a 16-team format, there'd be years like this year, we're sitting 16 and 17. We could have this argument, SMU, Alabama, all over again. But looking at the 16 and 17 team, there's not an argument. Looking at 10 and 11, there's an argument.
Yep.
So I hate we had to expand this even more, because I'm not a huge fan of expanding this playoff to the point where we're sitting here and we're having this huge, huge playoff where maybe even we're at 32 at some point. But I think 16 is a much better number than 12, because you don't get the buys. I think Gray's proposal of having one play 16, two play 15, and so on and so forth, that is some great football. Oregon versus Clemson, might not be the best game in the world, but, you know, that'll be good football. Georgia and South Carolina, you can't tell me that would not be a good football game.
Yep.
Texas and Ole Miss, I mean, Penn State, Miami.
You can have those? Are you kidding me?
I mean, and not putting – and I don't think you should put the five best conference winners in the top five seeds. That's just pointless. Just rank them. Rank them the best teams. I don't care if they won their conference or what. The 16 best teams. I don't want to hear, oh, they won the ACC. Whoop-de-doo, you won the ACC. It's a tough conference, but it's nothing compared to the SEC and the Big Ten. The third best team in the SEC would walk through the ACC.
Yeah.
I mean, that
South Carolina already beat the ACC winner.
I would argue that the fifth best team in the SEC would do that.
I think you could argue Vanderbilt could have probably beat Clemson.
I mean, so this whole thing has to change. It's just unfortunate that this bracket worked out the way it did for certain fan bases. And I don't think it's going to be the best playoff bracket we've ever seen, the best games of all time, because some of the matchups like Boise State in the second round playing the winner of Penn State SMU.
Boise State and SMU as a college football playoff quarterfinal game.
Okay, James Franklin will make it happen.
I mean,
don't worry.
Let me put this
thing with Arizona State and Clemson.
Boise State, SMU, and Penn State. One of those three teams is going to be one of the four teams left standing when it comes out at the end of the year.
To play Georgia.
I mean, this bracket is awful. I thought it was awful when they announced it. Either they should have stayed at four or they should have gone to 16.
Just doing
or done 12 differently to where there's no first round buys for a conference winner and you're not, and you reseed or something. This format is awful. This is the worst playoff format, I think, in all sports.
Yeah.
The worst.
The three teams in the 8-9 and then one category, meaning Tennessee, Ohio State, and Oregon, are better than all three of those teams in the 3, 6, and 11 category with Boise State, SMU, and Penn State. But only one of those.
You can argue 7 and 10
those.
There too.
Yeah, I would agree. It is. I agree with Alex on that. It's the worst playoff format in sports right now. And it's so easy to get it right because March Madness shows everybody how to get it right. Just seed them, best teams, completely normal. How you would do a normal single elimination bracket and play football. Would be some great football. Yeah, Alex was going down the line mentioning some of those matchups. My God, some of those matchups would be must-see TV. Some of those second-round matchups would be must-see TV as well. There's no way in the world I am watching Boise State versus SMU in the second round. No way. No way. I will find something better to do. I will go on a walk. Absolutely not. And I love watching Ashton Genty play. I enjoyed watching SMU against Clemson the other night. I can appreciate that those are two good football teams. You're telling me that's a college football playoff quarterfinal? And instead I could be watching Oregon, Ohio State again, or Oregon, Tennessee. Yeah, I'd rather do that than whatever's going to come out of that side of the bracket.
I mean, I'm still stuck on the 16th ranked team being the last team in a 12-team college football playoff. I'm still stuck on that one. I mean, you just told four other teams to go kick rocks.
Yeah. One of them
Clemson,
beat
Clemson
that team.
Won the mighty ACC conference.
The ACC has not been good. It's always been Clemson, maybe Florida State as recently, and Miami just this year. But it's really been Clemson and everybody else. I mean, a couple years ago, it was Clemson playing Virginia in the ACC championship game.
What a joke.
Virginia. Virginia probably would have gone 3-9 in the ACC that year, or the SEC that year.
The bowl game.
I mean, this it's absurd. The committee, it's a joke, but the tools we gave them to succeed are also a joke.
That's true.
I mean, you can't give clowns this type of stuff. I mean, it's just going to be a whole joke. You might as well just have a whole circus while you're at it.
It's okay. We're going to let Notre Dame not be in the conference and still be ranked one of the best teams. You know what? You know what? If people want to be independent, that's fine. Don't even think about making the college football playoff. We should abolish that. You can't make the college football playoff if you're an independent team. You got to pick a conference. Go join a conference.
Their punishment is Georgia in the second round.
So, their punishment was not getting a lot of it. Well, what do you do? I mean, they were ranked so high, even though they lost to Northern Illinois.
They're going to get Indiana in the first round at home. You cannot reward a team that got blown out, or not blown out, but beat by Northern Illinois at home. That's the worst loss in the country.
No, it's okay. Their best win was at Texas A&M.
Auburn beat Texas A&M.
This is my thing. We're gonna devalue Alabama's good wins because of their bad losses, but then we just completely ignore Northern Illinois.
Notre Dame's sitting over there. They're shaking in their boots because no one's talking about them. There was no discussion brought up against Indiana, against Texas, against Notre Dame. All these teams who did not play look at anybody and have some bad losses on there. But no, we're not gonna talk about them. We're gonna focus on the last two teams in because that's all that matters. That's the criteria that matters. Those last two teams, everything else completely fine. Indiana passed the eye test. Notre Dame certainly passed the eye test. I will say, Notre Dame's playing good football. But you're going to sit here and tell me that Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame didn't matter? Didn't matter? Indiana played the one good team on their schedule and got blasted, and that didn't matter? Texas doesn't even have a top 25 win.
They had the Vanderbilt win, though. They had the Vanderbilt win.
Yeah, Vanderbilt's a quality win. But when you're talking about Alabama, that's a horrible loss. Terrible loss. Terrible.
They didn't even lose. They lost by one score.
It was at Vanderbilt. I guarantee Vanderbilt, not the greatest team. They slipped out a lot this year. But they found ways to win in certain games. Texas almost lost that game. I mean, we're not even sitting here talking about what could have happened to Georgia if they lost at Kentucky.
You could argue the only bad loss for Alabama was the Oklahoma game. You could argue, you make a huge argument for that.
Yeah. Oklahoma loss is a lot more respectable than losing to Northern Illinois. I will say that.
Well, Oklahoma's in the SEC. Oklahoma's a top 50 talent composite team. Northern Illinois is not anywhere close.
Where did they finish in the MAC? What was their MAC ranking? I know they didn't sniff the conference championship.
It's not like they lost to a solid group of five team. It's not like they lost a game that wasn't a bye game. They paid Northern Illinois like $1.4 million to come in their house and beat them in September. And they honestly, it's like it never happened. Not once was it discussed. Not once was it talked about. It was literally a story for half of a week. And then Notre Dame beat Army and beat Navy. And it's like, oh my God, Notre Dame's one of the best teams in the country. Are you kidding me?
I don't even get it.
The problem is the committee releases these rankings way too soon. Way too soon. There should be no reason we're releasing rankings that early in the season. This should be maybe the last 3 weeks of the season. At most. Because there's no reason SMU should have been ranked that high. But when they were, the committee handicapped themselves because they couldn't let them fall out of the top 12.
Because they were winning.
They were winning. Yeah. Indiana. They ranked them so high, but when they lost to Ohio State, they couldn't let them fall that far. Because they didn't penalize other teams. This whole system is screwed. All screwed from top to bottom. From the committee to the tools we give them to when we release the rankings. They don't do there's not a single thing right. Not a single one. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Bama fan and I'm mad my team got left out. I'm mad for Miami fans. I'm mad for South Carolina fans. My team finished, if I'm South Carolina, I finished 7-0. I beat the 12 seed. I'm ranked in front of them and I'm left out. Because they won the ACC against an SMU team. The whole system is an absolute joke.
Okay, not all records are the same. You're going to sit there and tell me an 11-1 Indiana is as good as a 10-2 Tennessee? It's ridiculous. And the fact that it didn't even matter that Ohio State lost to Michigan at home in the final week of the regular season. Hey, they still get a home
bye. That just didn't happen.
They get a home game. They get to host Tennessee, a Tennessee team that won against Vanderbilt in the final week. And they said, you know what? Michigan's such a great team this year. They did so good.
They're playing Alabama in the FlyQuest Bowl.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that right now. There's no reason. What are we doing here? We can't figure it out. Penn State has a walk into the quarterfinal here, into the semifinal. Georgia has no quarterback right now. Man,
How are they not punished for that? We had 13-0 ACC champion Florida State last year who didn't have their quarterback, who got completely left out of the playoff because they don't have their quarterback. They're not one of the best teams without their quarterback, which I 100% agree with. But how does that not punish Georgia?
Yeah, why?
Well, I get that they just won the SEC, but
Texas couldn't figure out to beat them with a backup quarterback. They had a backup quarterback and Texas still couldn't figure out to beat them. They lost to it twice in the season. They're still ranked that high.
I'm still wondering that we punished Tennessee. Are we actually going to tell people Georgia very quality loss? They lost at Georgia. I'm not even going to talk about that. But we're going to talk about Arkansas. The Arkansas loss in Fayetteville in September is a worse loss than Notre Dame's Northern Illinois loss in September.
Notre Dame's fine. Wow. Notre Dame's such a great team. They're playing what conference are they in? Oh, wait, they don't play in the conference. They don't play anybody.
You know what the difference is Notre Dame has that one loss next to their name. Tennessee has those two losses next to their name.
Because record is everything in college football. You're telling me these teams play the exact same schedule, and it was more than the game.
All right, cool. So we got a five-seeded Texas team who doesn't have a top 25 win, but they have a quality win in Vanderbilt. But Tennessee, who also has a quality win in Alabama, does not have a quality win in Vanderbilt as well?
No, it doesn't fit their criteria. It's not the Tennessee narrative to put them higher, even though they beat better teams than Texas did.
And again, I am still blown away. What honestly blows me away more than absolutely anything is the fact that you've got the number one team in the country and by far the best and most deserving team to be the number one team in the country, and you punished them for it. Because no matter the matchup that they get, it's not the possible Clemson-Arizona State matchup. It's not the SMU. It's not the Indiana or Notre Dame. Tennessee and Ohio State are two of the best teams on this board. And they said, you know what you get for winning all your games this year? You know what you get for winning one of the – probably the second best conference in college football this year? You know what you get for being number one in the country? You get either Ohio State or Tennessee. Pardon? Alex was naming off teams that I'd be pissed off if I was a fan of. Oregon should be right at the top of that list because they deserve way better than this. They deserve so much better than this. Tennessee, I'd be pissed. I don't even know where to begin with Alabama, South Carolina, Miami, even an Ole Miss. There's no way that this is crazy. It's so easy. It's so easy to make a bracket. Basketball lays it out so easily for you. And with the whole four-team college football playoff that we've had for 10 years now, it just didn't work because we couldn't get teams. We couldn't get the best teams in, and we had to expand it to make sure we find the right national champion, the most deserving national champion in January. Makes sense. Let's completely ruin it. Let's change all the criteria, go back on our word from multiple years ago, even last year. Let's go make it harder for ourselves because we released the rankings too early and we have to include five conference champions because I don't know. We have to value conference championships. Do we? Are we serious about that? Because that is not the best teams. Isn't that what we said back in 2014? Isn't that what we said last year? What are we doing? It's so easy. 1 through 16, play home games. Let the kids play football. Let the kids decide who's the national champion. Let the kids decide who holds up that trophy, holds up that ugly trophy. That's crazy. It's crazy.
This whole thing is terrible. I knew when they announced that five teams would get by through winning their conference, we were screwed. But the reason they had to do it is to make sure the non-power, the group of five teams, were happy. They had to appease them. They had to get on their knees and pray to him. Oh, please, 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 don't leave. Please, we have to help you.
Okay, what happened to the Cincinnati's of the world where they earned their way into a four-team playoff? You know how many Boise State couldn't have just done that this year? If they were truly one of the best teams in the country, you know what I mean? They couldn't have worked their way in. Hey, Gray, would you like to fill me in on what happens to the winner of each tournament in college basketball in their respective conferences?
They get an automatic bid.
They get an automatic bid, but they don't get a damn bye. They get included. They get included. They Auburn? Don't get a bye.
I mean, Auburn got the 4 seed in the NCAA tournament last year.
Ridiculous.
The 4 seed. And in the toughest region, the toughest, had the eventual champion. Now, granted, Auburn lost to Yale. We're not talking about that, Gray.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I had to. But, I mean, we can sit here all day beating dead horse, talking about how terrible this bracket is, how big of a clown Ward Manuel is, how big of a group of clowns the committee is, and how terrible the idea of this was from the get-go. But this is not the 12 best teams, and I don't want to hear it anymore. It's the 12 most deserving teams, and I use that deserving term loosely.
Yeah.
So it's not the 12 best teams. Don't want to hear it. There is four other teams outside of this bracket that could easily win this whole thing.
Cool. Man, don't even call it deserving. Just say you pick 12 teams and move on.
All right. Everybody shake up your hat. And SMU. Cool. Good for them. That's what we did with Cincinnati.
Hey, Notre Dame, we've chosen y'all to participate in this year's playoff. Congratulations.
Hey, Oregon, I hate to break it to you, but I know you like won all your games and like won your conference and stuff, but you actually are going to have to play either Ohio State or Tennessee. That sucks.
Sorry, my bad. Oh, but Texas, you get to be rewarded by playing the 16th best team in the country. And then if you win that game, you get to play the 12th best team. There you go. We love you, Texas. Lots of money.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up, guys. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening and watching Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.